April 19th, study of the characters of the Gospels.
We're going to start with John. We finished up with, I kind of rushed through Luke last week. I apologize. If you have any questions about anything from last time, just let me know. But again, my goal is to study every single character or group of people from the four Gospels and how long it's going to take me to get through all of them. But right now we're finishing up with the authors. We've already done Matthew, Mark, Luke. Tonight we're going to start with John. I'm hoping to get to those other sheets, which is the Herods, and I'll discuss that in just a minute. But again, as I do this study, keep in mind our main goal is to learn more about these characters, no matter how much or how little is said about them. Sometimes it's very little. But what role did they play in the Gospels? That's the main point. Some of the characters from tonight's study I'd asked some of the brethren about, and I'm still not concluded on who they are. And so I'm going to study more on those. So we'll get to those a lot. Again, a lot of the different names that are the same, a lot of Marys and so forth, as an example, is confusing sometimes. So we don't want to read too much into who these people were. But at the same time, we don't want to read too little either. And so we don't want to make any false assumptions. So with that, again, if I make any assumption that you feel is incorrect, please let me know so I can make that correction before all. So, because I want to be correct in all of these. So. But with that, let's start with John. The first thing I want to establish is that, before we get started with John, is that, if you follow with your sheet, my lesson's right in front of you. I'm going to go right through my lesson here. That John is known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. I want to prove that before we can get started, that this is who this is. So there's some doubts of who this disciple whom Jesus loved was. Let's see that it is actually John. And let's turn to John chapter 13 to start. Begin at verse 21. I'll read here. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was at table at Jesus' side. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, the one whom Jesus loved, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" And Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." And so when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do it quickly." And no one at the table knew why he said this to him. At this point, do we know who this disciple is? It doesn't say, does it? So we have to look more. Do note, though, again, John's the author of this book. John rarely, if ever, names himself in his book, unless I've missed it somewhere. Nowhere in this book you're going to see him referring to himself as John. It's always the disciple whom Jesus loved. He doesn't even include his name of his own brother James in this book. James's name is not listed in this book, unless I've missed it. He doesn't even include a list of the apostles, as the other three Gospels do. Now, he does name some of them. Okay, we'll look at those real quick. Chapter 13, verse 36. Simon Peter. 14 and verse 5. Thomas. 14 and verse 8. Philip. 14 and verse 22. Judas. And as you see on my sheet there, I name these because they're close by. So he does name some apostles, but he never names himself that I know of. And he never names James. He always refers to himself in his writing as the disciple whom Jesus loved. But again, getting back to proving. We've not proved it yet that this is who this is. Turn to John chapter 21. Again, he's still writing here. As the paper says there, Jesus speaks privately in these verses to Peter when he asks him the three times, "Do you love me more than these?" And he says, "Feed my sheep." Okay, we won't read that account for a second time, but that's what just happened. And then go to John 21, begin at verse 20. Peter turned, after he had this discussion with Jesus, Peter turned and saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following them. We still don't know who it is. The one who also had leaned back against him during the supper and had said, "Lord, who is it that is going to betray you?" We just read that. When Peter saw him, he said to Jesus, "Lord, what about this man?" And Jesus said to him, If it be my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? You follow me. And so the saying spread among the brothers that this disciple was not to die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he was not to die, but if it is my will that he remain until I come, what is that to you? Verse 24, this is the disciple who is bearing witness about these things and who has written these things. So John here writing this book is identifying himself as this disciple whom Jesus loved. Any questions about that? That's important for our study later. Some things about John. He was the son of Zebedee and the brother of James. It's in Matthew chapter 4, verse 21. Again, we won't read all these verses. They're there for you. But I want to try to get through these if we can. He ran a fishing business with his brother and father in Capernaum. I do want to turn there. Mark chapter 1. Because there are certain things in the study, that this little things that you would think that kind of escape me. We always explain these fishermen as these poor, lowly fishermen and so forth. But notice that their business was profitable enough that they had hired servants. Mark chapter 1 and verse 20. And immediately he called them, and they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired servants and followed him. So they had a very profitable business. Note also something I didn't know, maybe you did, that he was business partners with Peter. Luke chapter 5. We know they knew each other, but they actually was a little closer than that. Begin at verse 4. And when he had finished speaking, he said to them, Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night, took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats, so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of the fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. So as a group they left. Something more that we learned there. Keep in mind we're reading from Luke here. You know, it's James and John were named there. But we're not reading from John right now. John doesn't name them. Jesus called him and his brother James the sons of thunder. Suppose possibly that this name is given because they may have had a fiery zeal or inner strength or tendency to do the unexpected. Let's turn to Luke chapter 9 to see evidence of that. When the days draw near for him to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him who went and entered a village of the Samaritans to make preparations for him. But the people did not receive him because his face was set toward Jerusalem. And when his disciples James and John saw it, they said, Lord, do you want us to tell fire to come down from heaven and consume them? But he turned and rebuked them, and they went on to another village. And there's other instances. That's one possibility of why they had this nickname that Jesus had given to them. Any questions or comments so far? Note also, with John, he was always included in Jesus' inner circle, along with Peter and James. We'll return to these. Mark chapter 5. Just briefly. The raising of Jairus' daughter. Notice these three always together in the inner circle. Verse 37. And he allowed no one to follow him except Peter and James and John, the brother of James. Mark chapter 9 and verse 2. These three and these three only witnessed the transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John and led them up a high mountain by themselves, and he was transfigured before them. These three only were called at Gethsemane, Mark chapter 14. Again, at verse 32. Am I going too quickly? Everybody okay? I'm sorry. Is there any more sheets back there, Mark?
Oh, I got sheets.
Oh, you got them. Okay. Mark chapter 14 and verse 32. I'll try to slow down Mike, sorry. And they went to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples, Sit here while I pray. And he took with him Peter and James and John and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. He said to them, My soul is very sorrowful, even unto death. Remain here and watch. So he signaled out these three. Luke chapter 22. Notice here that it was he and Peter only who prepared the Passover. Verses 7 and 8. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. So Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and prepare the Passover for us that we may." And these are just all to show John had this closeness with Jesus, which makes sense. He was the disciple whom Jesus loved. So he had a closeness, a close relationship with him. John chapter 20. John was the first to race to the empty tomb, we're going to find out here. Now on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early, while it was still dark, and saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. So she ran and went to Simon Peter and the other disciple, the one whom Jesus loved. Again, more evidence that he doesn't call himself by his own name. And said to them, "They have taken the Lord out of the tomb, and we do not know where they have laid him." So Peter went out with the other disciple, and they were going toward the tomb. Both of them were running together, but the other disciple outran Peter and reached the tomb first. And stooping to look in, he saw the linen cloths lying there, but he did not go in. And Simon Peter came, following him, and went to the tomb. He saw the linen cloths lying there, and the face cloth, which had just been on Jesus' head, not lying with the linen clothes, folded up in a place by itself. And then the other disciple, who had reached the tomb first, also went in, and he saw, and he believed. So he's reporting, he's writing about his own belief here, of witnessing this resurrection. It was John who was entrusted to take Mary, Jesus' mother, in at the crucifixion. John chapter 19. Now keep in mind, one point, did Jesus have earthly brothers? He did. Yet here he is about to die, and he's not going to entrust his mother with one of his earthly brothers, but rather this disciple whom he loved. Begin at verse 26. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour the disciple took her to his own home. So again, this closeness that he had with this disciple whom he loved. We also note that his mother, being John, was at the crucifixion. Matthew chapter 22. And this is one of those areas where these names get confusing. I'm not going to cover it tonight. When we get to that section of this, we will. I just want to make this point in a couple of chapters. Matthew chapter 27 and verse 55. There were also many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him, and among whom were Mary Magdalene, and Mary the mother of James and Joseph, or Joseph's, whatever your translation is, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. Now, who's the sons of Zebedee? James and John. So, their mother's there. Turn over to Mark chapter 15. You might want to keep your finger where Matthew is. If not, we'll go over it again. So far we've had three people listed, whoever they are. We have Mary Magdalene, who's there. Mary, the mother of who? Oh, I'm sorry, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph. And we have the mother of the children of Zebedee. And then Mark chapter 15 and verse 40. There were also women looking on from a distance, among whom were Mary Magdalene. Have we read her yet? She was in Matthew, right? Mary, the mother of James the Younger and of Joseph. Have we read her yet? And then Salome. So it's possible that this Salome is the mother of James and John. Three women listed there, but a different name there. But again, that's for further study. Keep in mind, though, go back to Matthew chapter 27. Regardless of who these women are, there were many women there. Not just the ones who were listed here. Verse 55. There were also many women there looking on from a distance who had followed Jesus from Galilee. So it doesn't mean they're all listed. There's many women there. Questions about that? I have, and I'm not going to get into it tonight. Maybe. Unless you have a thought you wanted to express or anything. That was one of the things I had asked other questions about. So we'll get to that. That's where those names get confusing. And so again, I don't want to assert anything that's incorrect. Okay. As I said, the bottom line is we don't want to read too much. We don't want to read too little. But, you know, as long as it doesn't affect our salvation, and none of this does as far as who these names are. Okay. He was the author of John, 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, and Revelation. He was exiled, and he was the last of the apostles to die, as far as we know, as far as history goes. Just, I know you all know this, who was the first apostle to die? His brother. Okay, so you had the first and last there. Questions about John? I'm going to try to get through, that finishes the authors. And so, again, my main goal, my original goal was to start and go from a chronological side through the Bible and tackle these names one at a time. As you imagine, John the Baptist is a pretty big subject. And so I thought it would be better to get some of the background characters, I guess, out of the way that are involved with several upcoming characters. So we're going to start with the Herods tonight. If you want to take out your chart here, if you don't have that. And get through a couple of these tonight, and we'll continue. So bring this back with you next time. I don't think I'll get through all these tonight, but a couple of them. But go through a few of these other minor characters before we get through there. If you look at the top of your chart, you see Herod the Great, and beside it has the verses or the chapters he's listed in. Just a few things outside of the Bible about him. He was appointed to rule by the Romans, Antony, Octavius, the Senate following the assassination of his father. He was a dictator, and you can see the years there on your sheet. He had executed his wife, his favorite son, Antipater, who is not on this sheet, by the way. These kids that are listed under Herod here are not necessarily all by the same women. Okay, he had several wives. Antipater is not listed here. And, of course, he murdered all the male children in Bethlehem. Later, he went mad and died an agonizing death. But let's go ahead and turn to Matthew chapter 2 and read about this first Herod. In verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, the wise men from the east came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who came to Jerusalem saying, where is he who had been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose and come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. And they told him in Bethlehem of Judea. For so it is written by the prophet, and you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, and by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who shall shepherd my people, my flock. Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained that from them what time the star had appeared, and he sent to them to Bethlehem, saying, go and search diligently for the child, and when you have found him, bring me word that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way and beheld the star that they had seen when it rose, and went before them until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Opening the treasures, they offered him gifts, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way. And now when they departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, rise, take the child and his mother, and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you. For Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him. And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt, and remained there until the death of Herod. And the point of this at the very end, this was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet out of Egypt, I called my son. So God uses Herod to do what? Fulfill prophecy. Okay. Matthew chapter 2. Let's keep reading. Verse 16. Then Herod, whom he saw, they had been tricked by the wise men, became furious, and he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and all that region who were 2 years old and under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. And then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping in loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. So again, more prophecy fulfilled that God uses with his providence through Herod. Turn over to Luke chapter 1. Luke verse 5. In the days of Herod, king of Judea, there was a priest named Zechariah. Now let's read that to equate this in the same time frame of when John the Baptist is about to be born. To my knowledge, these are the only three times you're going to see Herod the Great named in the Gospels. I could be wrong about that, but I believe it's only three times. Archelaus, Matthew chapter 2. If you look at your chart, he's on there. He's the second one from the left under Herod the Great. Begin at verse 19. But when Herod died, as we just read a minute ago, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there. Being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene. So second Herod here, another prophecy being fulfilled that God is using because of their actions of what they were doing. This is the only mention we're going to see of him in the Gospels. Like I said, some of these are very short. Okay. Now before we get to Herod Antipas, and just by the way, Herod Antipas in all the Gospels, that's the only other Herod you read about. Okay. And only these verses we just read are the only ones you're going to hear about the other Herod. So if it's confusing, it shouldn't be. From here on, it's this other Herod, Antipas. But I'm going to discuss something about Joanna first. She's only mentioned twice in the Gospels. Does that name sound familiar, by the way, to anybody? Let's find out about her. She's only mentioned twice in the Gospels. But again, this is where we're kind of looking. Is this maybe a reason, some insight into how this next Herod, we're going to talk about Antipas, how he knew so much, how he learned so much about Jesus, and how he inquired about him. What was her relationship that made this next Herod, who we've not talked about yet, who's going to be through the rest of the Gospel, what made him so interested in this Jesus? Is she a key there? Luke chapter 23. We're going to look at the last mention of her, not the first mention. Luke 23. Begin at verse 55, looking for this name, Joanna. Tell me your version, maybe spelled with an H. Verse 23 and verse 55. The women who had come with him from Galilee followed and saw the tomb and how the body was laid. And they returned and notice all they're seeing. They're seeing his body being laid in the tomb. They're seeing how it's prepared. They followed and saw the tomb and how it was laid. Then they returned and prepared spices and ointments. So these women are going to do what? They're the women who prepared the spices and the ointments. On the Sabbath day they rested according to the commandments. But on the first day of the week at early dawn they went to the tomb taking the spices that they prepared, and they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. When they went in they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here, but has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. This Joanna was in this group, and she witnessed all these things. She was present at the burial again. She saw his body in the shroud, prepared spices, and his resurrection. But how did she meet Jesus in the first place? Luke chapter 8. And again, while we study on Joanna here, what relationship, if any, did she have with Herod? Verse 8. Soon afterward, he went on through cities and villages proclaiming and bringing the good news of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him, and also some women who had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary called Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's household manager. She worked for Herod. She had some authority in Herod's house. She was a household manager in Herod's house. Okay? that she'd also been healed directly by Jesus. It said some of the women who had been healed by Jesus, and it gives a list of them. Mary Magdalene once, and that mentions Joanna. So she followed him up until afterwards. So she knew this Jesus. So with her, let's go and get started on Herod Antipas, and we'll keep her in mind. Now, I won't get through this Herod Antipas here tonight, but we'll try to. Again, every reference to Herod in the Gospels is him, this new Antipas we're about to talk about, or Herod the Tetrarch, except for Matthew chapter 2 and Luke. And we've already covered those. So those Herods are out of the way. He had married his brother Philip's ex-wife Herodias. He imprisoned and beheaded John the Baptist, even though he feared him because he was a holy and righteous man. And for a while, he actually tried to keep him safe. Something else I didn't catch until I did this study. I know he didn't want to kill him, but I didn't know he actually went through lengths to keep him safe. Matthew chapter 14. Let's try to get there. That time Herod the Tetrarch heard about the fame of Jesus. Again, where did he hear about it from? And he said to his servants, "This is John the Baptist." He's already killed John at this time when he's written the writing of this, okay? He's already killed John. And he's going to back the story here in just a second. But he says, "This is John the Baptist. He has been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. For Herod had seized John and bound him and put him in prison for the sake of Herodias, his brother Philip's wife. Because John had been saying to him, 'It is not lawful for you to have her.' And though he wanted to put him to death, he feared the people because they held him to be a prophet. But when Herod's birthday came, the daughter of Herodias danced before the company and pleased Herod, so that he promised with an oath to give her whatever she might ask. And prompted by her mother, she said, 'Give me the head of John the Baptist on a platter.' The king was sorry, but because of his oaths and his guests, he commanded it to be given. And he sent and had John beheaded in prison. And his head was brought on a platter and given to the girl, and she brought him to her mother. And his disciples came and took the body and buried it. And went and told Jesus." Turn over to Mark chapter 6. Again, at last reading, John was already dead at the beginning of the reading, and he was hearing about it. And I'm not saying it was this Joanna's the only person he heard it from, but it's possible that that was some of the people he could have heard from. Mark chapter 6, begin at verse 7. And he called the... He called the 12 and began to send them out two by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. And he charged them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and put on two tunics. And he said to them, "Whenever you enter a house, stay there until you depart from there. And if any place you will not receive you, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." And so they went out and proclaimed that people should repent. And they cast out many demons, and they anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. Verse 14, King Herod heard of it, for Jesus' name had become known. Some said John the Baptist had been raised from the dead. That is why these miraculous powers are at work in him. But others said he's Elijah, and others said he's a prophet, like one of the prophets of old. But when Herod heard of it, he said, "John, whom I beheaded, has been raised." For it was Herod who had sent and seized John and bound him in prison for the sake of Herodias. Verse 18, for John had been saying to Herod, "It is not lawful for you to have your brother's wife." Herodias had a grudge against him and wanted to put him to death, but she could not. For Herod feared John, knowing that he was righteous and holy man, and he kept him safe. When he heard him, he was greatly perplexed, and yet he heard him gladly. We won't read through the rest of that for a second time. Now, remember Joanna. Luke chapter 9. And he called the 12 together and gave them power and authority over all the demons to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God to heal. Same reading here. Skip down to verse 7. Herod the Tetrarch heard about all was happening. He was perplexed because it was said by some that John had been raised from the dead. By some that Elijah had appeared and so forth. And at the very bottom of verse 9, Herod said, "John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things?" And he sought to see him. So he's hearing these things. He's searching them out. But he hasn't got to meet him yet. Luke chapter 13. Verse 31. At that very hour, some Pharisees came and said to him, "Get away from here, for Herod wants to kill you." He said to him, "Go and tell that fox, 'Behold, I cast out demons, perform cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I finish my course.'" Of course, he says some other things there. But word gets to Jesus that Herod's seeking to kill him. Not that that's the case, but that's what they told him. Luke chapter 23. Luke finally goes before Herod after Pilate sends him during his trial. Let's skip down for time's sake to verse 6. When Pilate heard this, Pilate heard that he was a Galilean. Okay, and don't forget, he's from Galilee. He heard the man was a Galilean, and when he learned that he belonged to Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him over to Herod, who was himself in Jerusalem at that time. And when Herod saw Jesus, remember, he'd been waiting and looking forward to meeting this Jesus, who he thought was John the Baptist, or he said he was. When Herod saw Jesus, he was very glad, for he had long desired to see him because he had heard about him. He was hoping to see some sign done by him. So he questioned at some length, but he made no answer. The chief priests and the scribes stood by, vehemently accusing him. Herod with his soldiers treated him with contempt and mocked him and arrayed him in splendid clothing. He sent him back to Pilate. And we're told Herod and Pilate became friends. So he longed to see Jesus all this time, and Jesus was a disappointment to him, basically. One final reference. That's all, to my knowledge, that we're going to hear about Herod in the Gospels. Turn to Acts real quick, and then we'll stop. Again, I know this is not a gospel character here, but I thought it was interesting. Verse 1. This is sometime after the church has started, of course. Acts chapter 13, verse 1. Barnabas and Paul are about to be sent off. Now there were in the church of Antioch prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manion, a lifelong friend of Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. So a mention of him here again in Acts. But here was a lifelong friend. Does someone have the King James Version, what it says? 13 and verse 1. I forgot what it says. It was a little different. I have the English Standard Version, which says a lifelong friend. Which had been brought up. So the contemporaries at the very least and knew each other. But here he was now a follower of Christ. So I thought that was an interesting fact as well. Any questions or comments? Keep these for next time. We'll start with Philip and continue on from there.